This morning we're going to continue our series, Sufficient, and the title of this morning's message is Jesus Christ, Our Focus. And we're going to be going to the book of Nehemiah. We'll be going back to that book. I know we were there this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we're going to be at, and you're going to see, I hope this morning, we're going to see where it's important to have a correct focus, because if not, then we can get ourselves into some trouble. You know, this, as far as living for God, you know, faith is necessary for the believer. Faith is necessary. Hebrews 11 tells us in verse 6 there that if we're going to please God, we have to do it by faith. You see, without faith, we cannot please God. Without faith, we cannot serve God. Without faith, we cannot live for God. Without faith, we will not pray for God or pray to God. Have you ever thought about that? Because if you have no faith, there's no reason to go to God and ask Him for anything. So without faith, we will not pray to God. And without faith, we won't walk with God. We'll just do our own thing and continue on our own way. For our spiritual life this morning, as believers, I think faith really is like oxygen is to the body. It's necessary. If we're going to have a spiritual life, we have to have faith. Now, faith is just simply trusting God. Believing. Now, saving faith is believing on Jesus Christ to save your soul. But afterwards, we must live by faith. In other words, we must continue to trust God on a daily basis. Trust Him with our future. Trust Him with our decisions. Trust Him with direction. And the list goes on and on and on of all the things that we must trust God with. But here's the problem. It's easy to lose faith. Now, I'm not talking about saving faith. That's settled. God settles that. But as believers, it's easy to lose faith. It's easy to be distracted. And because we're distracted, we lose sight of God. In other words, we lose focus. And when there's no focus on Jesus Christ, there's going to be no faith. Now, we may have a little bit of faith, but we won't have strong faith. This morning, Nehemiah chapter 4, as we're going to be look here, Nehemiah chapter 4, I want you to notice this morning that there were a group of people that struggled. They struggled with faith. They struggled to trust God. They struggled to believe. Now, they belonged to God. They were in that city. They were working. But they struggled with their faith. And it begins, we'll pick it up here in Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 7. It says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, and they were very wroth, conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them." Now the problem should be finished. It should be settled. They prayed to God, they set a watch, and they're going to move on. But you know what? It's not. Notice what happened in verse 10. "And Judah said..." Now when it says Judah, it's not talking about an individual. It's talking about a group of people. The tribe of Judah. "And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, and slay them, and cause the work to cease. And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings which You've given to us. Thank You for allowing us to be here. As we look at this passage, Lord, I pray that You'll just open up our hearts and our minds to Your Word. Help us to see the teaching here and help us to grab hold of it so we can apply it to our life. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when faith is lacking, there's going to be a problem. In this instance, the problem was the faith of the group of Judah, or the people of Judah. And because they struggled with their faith, they went to Nehemiah, they were ready to quit, and their work for God was hindered, or would be hindered, I guess they threatened to be slowed down or to be set aside. You see, this morning, as we go into this, I hope and pray that we will notice, you see, when someone's lacking faith, there's a reason there. It doesn't just happen. It's not like you just wake up and say, well, I'm decided on no faith today. Now, I guess that can take place. But as believers, when we struggle with faith, it's because something has hindered that. Something has come in to cause our faith to go down, to cause us to lose hope, to cause us to become discouraged, and to cause us really to be ready to quit, to throw in the towel, and to be done. Now, hopefully this morning, I want us to see the sources of this problem here. You know, we could easily look at this and say, yeah, they lacked faith. We need faith. Let's move on. Yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's correct. But I hope to show you there are five distractions that are in this passage, and one of them is outside. We'll see in a minute outside this chapter. But there are five distractions that cause these people to lose faith. And this morning, those distractions are still in our world today. And I believe they can cause each one of us to lose faith as well. So as we go forward in this chapter, I want to begin with getting a context of what's taking place. So we know what's happening here. Nehemiah has returned to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls of the city. It was a monumental work. A huge task. I mean, it would have been a great job and a great responsibility had there been no opposition. But to throw in opposition made it even more incredible that they would accomplish this. So he returned to rebuild the walls. The Bible tells us that people were excited. Have you been excited to start something new? Maybe a new job. Maybe you moved to a new house. It's exciting to start something new. You know, we got all your plans. You got all your goals. You see all these things you're going to accomplish and everything else. And then as time goes on, I'm not saying that you dislike your job or whatever new endeavor you went on, but sometimes as time goes on, that zeal can be removed. All of a sudden, what was once exciting and enjoyable is now a burden. And all of a sudden, it's a struggle for us to go. Now, think about this. The people were excited. They had a mind to work. They're excited. But then the Bible tells us at the beginning of this chapter, in chapter 4, verse 1, it tells us that they ran into some opposition. They began to be insulted and intimidated and began to be mocked and they began to be laughed at. I think it's safe to say the fun was gone now. You know, now they're getting serious. They're working hard. They're building the wall. People are trying to get them discouraged. So the fun's gone. I mean, the zeal is probably still there with a lot of the people, but it's no longer this great endeavor. Now it's work. And they had to dig down and really get serious. You know, I think for Nehemiah, this had to have been a surprise. Here he is. He has taken care of the issue of this insults. The people have decided they're going to continue. They're going to watch. He's ready to go. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if he had a door and they knocked on it one day, or if they said, hey, Nehemiah, we'd like to meet with you. All of a sudden, they meet with him and they said, guess what? We just can't do this anymore. We're done. Could you imagine his heart when he heard that? Oh, you're what? You're ready to quit? We've already built it halfway. We're going strong. Everyone else has really got into the work and you're ready to go? Now, keep this in mind. This was Judah. Judah was a strong tribe. They always were strong. They were the tribe that David came from. They were the tribe of kings. They were the tribe of Jerusalem. Really, this was their city. They were also the last tribe to go into captivity. They were a very strong tribe. And I imagine that Nehemiah, out of all the tribes, he probably would have said, that's the tribe that'll stand strong, if nothing else, because they're all those that came before them left a wonderful testimony. They'll just be like that. You know, this morning we are reminded that anyone can be discouraged at any time. Anyone can run into troubles. Anyone can have a problem, as we'll see here this morning. You know, those that are strong need to beware just as much as those that may be struggling. Because anyone can suffer. And turn with me to Galatians. I want to point this out. Galatians chapter 6. I just want to show you real quick what Paul said concerning helping others. Galatians chapter 6. And you'll see where I'm going with this as far as the strong struggling. Verse 1 says, brethren, this is Galatians 6 verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. But notice this, considering thyself, what's he say? lest thou also be tempted. You do realize this morning there is nobody. There's nobody in this room that is above temptation. There is nobody in this room that is above making a mistake. There is nobody in this room that is above sin. I'm going to just tell you straight this morning. It is by God's grace that we are here and that we're not in the middle of trouble or hardships right now. It is by God's grace that we have our ability to live life and to serve God. So be thankful to God. And never think that you cannot fall, that you cannot stumble. Never look down upon someone else who's struggling this morning. You know, someone has a sin that has overcome them and they're struggling. Don't begin to think you're better than them. That sin may not have overcome you, but there may be another sin that'll pull you down just as quick as that sin did them. Encourage them, but guard yourself. See, the tribe of Judah had always been strong. They had always showed themselves to be powerful. And all of a sudden now, in a moment of weakness, they come to Nehemiah and they say, we just can't do this. And now I want you to notice there are five distractions that produce this lack of faith. The first one is, they labored intensely. Notice what it says in verse, we're going back to Nehemiah chapter 4. Notice what it says in verse 10. It says, and Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Nehemiah, we're tired. We're worn out. We can't go on. This work has just brought us down. They had labored intensely. Now think of this work. It was strenuous work. They worked long hours. The Bible tells us they worked sunrise to sunset. And then at night they had to produce a guard. Some of them had to sit overnight and guard the city. So they worked long hours. And it was hard work. The Bible tells us they hauled loads of rock and timber. They built these walls up. Now they didn't have elevators. They didn't have cranes. Now they may have had some sorts of technology that they used to lift up rocks, but a lot of it was manual labor, and they had to climb up these ladders every day, and it was hard work. On top of that, it was stressful work. They worked under duress. You see, these people had to defend while they were working. The enemy had threatened them, had already insulted them, and so they had to work with the constant, I guess, understanding that they could be attacked at any minute. You know, stress can discourage us just as quick as physical labor. Now, these people had both. They had physical labor and they had stress on top of it. And you know what the result was? The result was they go to Nehemiah and said, guess what? The burden bearers are decayed. We're beat up. This is hard. I think they had become fatigued. And this fatigue led to a lack of faith. You see, they were tired. They were worn out. And because of this, they believed that they could no longer continue in the work. And they were prepared to quit. You know, physical weakness. Here's the first thought here on this. Physical weakness can lead to a lack of faith. It can. Yes, we are to live for God spiritually, but we live in a physical body. And a body that is corruptible, that becomes tired. You know, Jesus Christ took on the form of a man. And he became tired and he endured the sufferings that men and women have to endure. But you know, our bodies can become weak, and that weakness can lead to a lack of faith. Now, there are multiple ways that we can become weak. I'm going to give you some thoughts. First, we can become weak from physical work. Our bodies can just become tired. How many of you had work weeks where you spent long hours, whether it's in the office or just on site, wherever you worked, and the week just felt like it went by? And by the time you got to enjoy your weekend, it seemed like you had to get up and go back to work. And next thing you know that begins to happen on a constant basis. That can wear you down. I don't care who you are. That can begin to take a toll on your body. And that happens today. You know, physical work can wear us down. Now, there's nothing wrong with work. I want to make that clear. As a pastor, I don't want anyone to get the impression here this morning I'm telling us that work is bad. The Bible makes it clear we're not to be lazy. We're to work. We're to follow the example of the ant. As far as working hard and doing our job. But work can be tiring, and that's what I want to point out. Work can be tiring, and it can produce weakness. Also, you think of our body. You think of our body. Our body can become worn out due to lack of food, or even due to sickness. Sickness can wear our bodies down. You know, when you're sick, you get the flu or you get a cold. What do? You sleep, you rest, you're tired, you're worn down. You know, sometimes people get a disease of a certain kind, and it takes its toll on the body. Now this morning, when our bodies, I think, become weak, then we are, I'm not going to say you're going to have a lack of faith, but all of a sudden you become susceptible to lacking faith because you become tired. You can also become tired serving the Lord, by the way. Pastors can become tired. Missionaries can become tired. We can become tired serving the Lord and doing a good work. That's what these people did. They were doing a good work and they became tired. Now when the body tires down, when it becomes tired, it's easy. You know what happens? And here's where I think the problem comes in. It becomes easy to focus on the physical instead of the spiritual. When you become tired, you begin to think of the physical needs. You need rest. You need energy. You know, if you get diagnosed with a disease, you know what happens? You focus on that. You see, it's easy to focus on the physical and to lose sight of the spiritual. You know, that's what happened to the men of Judah. They became tired and they lost sight of the big picture. They lost sight of their work, that they were doing a work for God. And so because they lost sight of this work for God, they became tired, and that tired body led to a lack of faith. So what can be done? You know, if I just left you there, then that wouldn't be good. What can be done to overcome this? I think, first, of course, the obvious is take care of your bodies. Now, don't overdo it. What I mean by that is, you know, what does Paul tell us in 1 Timothy 4? He says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." Now, we need to have some moderation and understand. What I mean by that is we need to understand, yes, we're to take care of our bodies, but we can't go to the extreme. You know, some have went to the extreme, and it's all about the physical. They're taking care of their bodies and so forth, and they don't want to do anything spiritual. No, we need to take care of our bodies because we live in this body as we're down here on earth. And we need to take care of our bodies so that way we can serve God, so we can serve the Lord. Here's some advice for you as a pastor. How about you rest when you need it? Now, I'm not going to tell you when to take your vacation or how much vacation you need, but you know what? Maybe you need vacation sometimes. It's good to get away. Even from serving the Lord. Now, I'm talking, when I say serving the Lord, I'm not talking about your walk with God. I'm talking about in the church. You know, it's good for pastors and missionaries to take a break. As far as the physical work they're involved with, it's good for them to take a break and to rest. It's good to take a break from physical work, wherever you work. And even as far as you serve in the church, I'm not saying you take a break from reading your Bible or walking with God, but it's good if you need it to take a break and get some energy so you can continue serving the Lord. Go on vacation. Rest a little bit. Relax. You know, Nehemiah, you know what he did? As soon as he found out, right afterwards, the Bible tells us, that's when he moved the people around. I imagine what he did is he began to look and say, these people of Judah, they're right. They're tired. They're worn down. Let's move them over here and let's get them involved in this work where they can get a little bit of rest and we can get their energy back up. So what we need to do is take care of ourselves. Now, here's my other thought on this. You know, there are going to be times when it's beyond your ability. You see, there are going to be times in your life where you can't take care of yourself. You can't deal with that. Your body's just going to wear down. That's part of life. That's when we need to trust in Jesus Christ. Trust in His plan for our life. Trust in His purpose. And find strength in Him. You know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. So that's the first distraction. They labored intensely and they became weak, and so they had a lack of faith. The second distraction. Notice Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. And Judah said, "The strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed." And notice what they said next. "And there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall." Here's my second thought. They looked upon the problem. Now, when I say looked, it was more than just noticing and recognizing. They began to focus on that problem more than anything else. Have you ever looked through binoculars? The wonderful thing about binoculars is you can see a distance. But you also are limited as far as your peripheral vision. What I mean by that is you're focused on what you're looking at, and there can be someone standing right next to you, and you don't even see them. They began to look upon their work. Now, I can just imagine these workers. Sunrise to sunset. They had to work in these ruins. I mean, they're going and they're stepping over these ruins, walking by them, moving them around, making paths through these ruins. Now, this is a large city, large walls that are being built up. And so they're working through these ruins all day long. That's what they see. That's what they're around all day long. And as they continue on, they begin to notice these ruins. And they probably began to think, how can we put these walls back together? Look how much of a trash there is sitting around. How can we put these walls back up? Who are we to think that we can accomplish this work that is so great? How can we even dream of getting this done? You see, they began to look at their problem. They began to focus on the rubbish and everything that was in front of them. And you know what they did? They forgot the one that motivated them to begin with, and that's God. You see, this was His work that they were involved with. This was His city. This were His walls. This was His direction that they were following. And because of this, it was His power that would enable them to be successful. But when God is forgotten, and I'm going to tell you this, as a believer, when you begin to focus on your problems and you lose sight of God in the big picture, I don't care who you are, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to struggle with faith. And two examples in the Bible. I'm going to give you one in the old and one in the new. What about David? If David would have focused on Goliath, there's no way he would have walked out that day. And there's no way he would have secured that victory. And the reason why I say that is because every other Israelite focused on Goliath and nobody went. Here comes David, a young man. And you know what his focus was on? God. Our God. My God. That's who he focused on. And he knew his God was greater than that giant. So he went out there and he got the victory. Had he looked upon Goliath and had he focused on Goliath, and guess what? He would have stayed right with all those other Jews, all with his brothers and everyone else, sitting in fear. How about we go to the New Testament? What about Peter? Remember when he walked on water? Now, walking on water, that's amazing. Here he is walking on water, and the Bible tells us that as he's walking, and he walked quite a ways, it was more than just a few steps, he walked out into the water, and as he's walking, the Bible tells us that he began to notice the storm all around him. You know, he was fine when he was looking at Jesus Christ. But then when he began to notice the storm, you know what I think happened? He noticed the wind, he noticed the waves, and he probably thought, what am I doing? And then he began to sink and he cried out for help, and Jesus Christ reached out and picked him up. He lost his focus on Jesus Christ. That's what happened to the men of Judah, or the people of Judah. They lost their focus. They began to look upon the problems around them. Now this morning, that can happen to you as well. You know, we all have problems that we have to deal with. And your problems are real. And I'm going to tell you this, if they're real to you, they're serious. They're not. I don't want to minimize anyone's problems. Because if they're part of your life, then that's a serious issue. But if you focus on your problem, if you dwell on your problem, you think about your problem, if that's what you are considering from sunrise to sunset, then I guarantee, I don't care how long you've been saved, I don't care how strong a Christian you are, you focus on your problem, you're going to lose faith. Because that problem will eventually overwhelm you. And that's what happened to these people. And that can happen to any one of us. So what can be done? What can be done for this? I'm glad you asked. See if everyone's awake out here. How about Hebrews 13? Or turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Excuse me. Here's what can be done to overcome this distraction. Hebrews chapter 12. As believers this morning, we're talking about focusing on Christ. Hebrews 12, notice what it says in verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we are also, he says there, compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Notice what he says in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint, he says, in your minds. This morning, instead of focusing, now we have to deal with our problems. I'm not saying you ignore them or set them aside and just do nothing. You have to deal with them. But instead of focusing on them, how about you consider Christ? How about you focus on the Lord Jesus Christ? How about you consider all that He has already done for you and all that He promised to do for you? You know, when we begin to consider Christ, I think all of a sudden, not only is discouragement set aside, but faith is strengthened. When we began to consider how good Jesus is, how what He not only has done, but what He will do for us. You know, we need to look to Christ as what we need to do, so that we are not distracted. You know, this morning there are many distractions as far as there are many things that can grab our attention. Sin. Sin abounds today. And temptation is everywhere. You got to be careful when you turn on your television. Just flipping channels, you can run across something that you didn't want to see. Commercials even nowadays can be filled with sin. We got to be careful. So sin is everywhere. That's why we got to focus on Christ. Also distractions. You know, the devil doesn't have to get us to sin to discourage us. You know, if he can just distract us and keep us from reading our Bible, if he can distract us from prayer, if he can distract us from walking with God, then guess what? He can discourage us. And if he discourages us, he can cause us to lose faith. And then we just sitting there discouraged and struggling from day to day and not being active for God. And the devil has the victory. How about some distractions today? Now, I'm not going to tell you to go throw out your phone, but phones are a distraction. Man, I see people on their phone nonstop. I don't know about anybody here, but phones can be a distraction. Computers can be a distraction. Online can be a distraction. I'll be the first to tell you, I've been online and planned on getting online for just a few minutes, and next thing you know, it's an hour later. didn't do anything bad, but I went from one interesting story to another, and next thing you know, I wasted time. It's easy to get distracted in life with hobbies even, entertainment. You see, what we need to do as believers is, we don't need to, what's that phrase, throwing the baby out with the bathwater? We don't need to go get rid of all of these things if they're not immoral, they're tools. We just need to focus on Christ. Yes, you can use everything God's allowed us to have, but let's not lose our focus on the Lord. Let's consider Christ at all times, and then let's look to serve Him. And so that's what we find here. Now here's our third distraction. It says there, let's go back to Nehemiah 10. We find here they're ready to quit. I mean, they say they're going to throw in the towel. They say, guess what? We were tired. There's all this rubbish around us. We don't want to work in this. Notice, and we're in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 10. Here's the third distraction, and it's found here in verse 11. And our adversary said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them, slay them, and cause the work to cease. In verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, when she shall return unto us, they will be upon you. So, here's the third distraction they had. They learned of trouble. They learned of trouble that was around them. You see, what happened was the enemy is paying attention to what was going on inside the city, found out that it was a hard work, people were getting discouraged, and so they made a plan to sneak into the city, and the Bible says to not only hinder the work, but if necessary, slay some of the workers to stop the work. You see, their goal was to end the work that took place in Jerusalem. They didn't mind if any lives were taken in the process, so long as the work was finished. Now the people of Judah learned of this plan. They found out of this plan. And that became a problem to them. You see, they knew that there was an enemy out there that was dangerous, that was tough, that was difficult, that this enemy was willing to have their way. You know, this enemy that fought against them had no regard for life. They didn't care who they slew as long as they stopped the work. That's all they cared about. See, these people were not fooling around. They faced a real enemy. It was a serious threat. And because of this, I think they became discouraged. Now, here's my thought on this. It was the perception that produced the lack of faith. Here's what I mean. Nobody had actually attacked the city yet. Now, they had insulted the people. They had intimidated the people. They had made a plan. They had conspired together. They had made a lot of threats. They may have even shown themselves strong. They may have marched the armies around the city. They may have even made a demonstration. I don't know. But up to this point, there had not been an actual attack on the city. You see, what produced a lack of faith was the perception that they would be attacked. That's all that it was. Nothing had actually occurred. Basically, they were intimidated is what took place. Now, an attack was possible, but an attack had not yet happened. You know, the people of Judah feared that which was out of their control, that which had yet to occur. You know what they did is they worried about and they fretted over something that was really as the Bible tells us, something that never took place. There never was a real physical attack that came into the city. Because Nehemiah and the others planned and protected the city, and with God's help, the city was protected. You know, this morning, here's what we find. Their worry, their fretting, led to a lack of faith. That's what happened to these people. They heard about this great plan to come and destroy them, and so they got scared, and they began to worry, and they began to fret. And they were ready to quit simply because they believed trouble was coming their way. That's all it was. That's why they were ready to quit. You know, this morning, there are many things that can cause us to worry and to fret. How many of you worry? Now, you don't have to raise your hand. We all worry at times. We all fret and we think things over. We all get concerned. Here's some things that we worry over. We worry over financial matters. How to make ends meet. Am I ready for pay this bill or this bill? We worry over our career. Am I going to keep my job today? Or maybe something comes up that causes us to consider, you know, what's going to happen at my workplace? We worry about health. You know, when we go to the doctor, even if it's just for a regular physical, there's always that thought in the back of the mind, I hope everything turns out fine. You know, you want to hear a positive result back from the doctor so we can worry about health. We can worry about the world. I don't know about you, but some of the decisions that are made in our country or around the world affect us. So we can become concerned or fret over things that happen in the world. Basically, you know what worry does? Worry leads to fear, is what it does. You begin to worry, and you worry long enough over anything, you're going to get scared. Whether it's your finances, whether it's your spiritual relationship, whatever it is, you dwell upon it, you worry about it, then you're going to be afraid. And you know what fear does? Fear immobilizes you. Fear will stop you in your tracks. And that's what happened with the people of Judah. They became afraid. And because they were afraid, you know what? They were done. They didn't want to continue. They were afraid, and they wanted nothing else to do with it. Even though everyone else in the city was working hard, this fear got hold of their hearts, and they were ready to stop. And it all was produced, or part of it was produced, because of their concerns over the enemy making this plan and coming after him. So what can be done as believers today? Here's what I think can be done. First, we have to know what to do when we have a problem that we cannot take care of. And that 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us what to do. Here's what we have to know what we can do when we have a problem. Here's what the Bible tells us. 1 Peter 5 chapter 6, it tells us there, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. First, we must humble ourselves. Recognize you need some help. Secondly, notice here, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know that word casting, that means, that's referring to something that is thrown. It's not just talking about something that is placed. You know, you place something down real gently and softly. Maybe you have something that you really want to take care of in your house and you place it down. That's not what this is implying. This word casting is implying something that is thrown. Some of you have done work before where you just get tired, you just get it done. You throw boxes or you throw something. Maybe you throw rocks. That's what this is talking about. You know, when we have a problem, that's what we're to do. We're to cast it upon God. He wants us just to take it and throw it upon Him. Give it to Him right away, immediately, and just let Him take it. And that's what the Bible tells us. See, that's how we're to handle things that are out of our control. You know, there are a lot of, I guess you say, issues that you can control, but anything in your life, after you have examined it, after you've done what you could, if there is something in your life which you have no control over, this is what you need to do. Just take it to God and then trust Him with the rest of it. Don't carry those burdens around. Because if you choose to carry those burdens around, I guarantee you will eventually sink under the weight. And when I say sink, you're not going to lose your salvation, but you're going to be discouraged. And it may get to the point, yes, believers can get discouraged. And I do think believers can become depressed. You carry those burdens around long enough, then that can lead to discouragement and even some depression, because you are just worrying and fretting and over things that you can't deal with. Sometimes over things that never come to pass. We just worry over them. Take them to God. Leave them with God. Don't carry those burdens around. Trust God to provide on a daily basis for your needs, and then wait for Him to bless. Here's my fourth thought here. They listened. First, we find them laboring hard, so led to a lack of faith. They looked to the rubbish. Next, we saw here, after they looked to the rubbish, we see they learned of trouble. Fourthly, they listened to the fearful. Notice what happened next. It says in verse 10, we've already read it. In verse 12 it says, "And it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, from all places whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you." You know what happened? Notice who brought this report. It was the Jews who dwelt amongst the enemy. You know what we find in what took place here in Israel? This is what we need to understand. When they went to rebuild the walls, not all of the Jews in the land joined in the work. Some of them stayed back and remained in their homes. For whatever reason, the Bible doesn't tell us all the details of that. Here we have a group of people that evidently did not get involved in the work. Now, they were friendly to the Jews. Without a doubt, they were friendly. They wanted the work to be done. And because of this, they hurry up and sent the report to the city because of what was happening. But basically, these Jews were fearful and timid. They didn't have the diligence to get involved. They weren't dedicated to God's work. So instead of getting involved, they remained at a distance, and they lived nearby the world. And when threatened, now they became threatened too, no doubt. When threatened, you know what they wanted? They wanted that work to stop. They wanted the men of Judah and the people of Judah that were working to come back home to them. And they wanted the work on the city to stop. So you know what took place, I think? The people of Judah listened to the fearful. They listened to those that were already afraid. They listened to those that were living near the world. They listened to those that had no dedication. And those people ran to them and said, "You got to stop." And so they said, "You know what? We got to stop. There's a problem here." You see, the fear of other people produced discouragement in their life because they listened to those other people. Now, there's some simple truths that we find here, real quick, and that we need to remember. You know, those that live near the world, and I'm talking about believers. Believers that live near the world will be the easiest to discourage. They will be, because they're not walking with God. They're staying close to the world. Also, believers that live near the world will often live in fear. I've been there. I'll just tell you straight, when you live near the world, and I'm not talking about living in sin, but if you're not walking with God, you live near the world, it's easy to become afraid. Another thought here is those that live near the world are going to struggle with their faith. Guarantee it. They're going to struggle with faith. And then the fourth one is those that live near the world, not that they do it on purpose, but they'll often discourage and hinder those that are trying to walk with God. That's what we find here, and that's what often happens even in our world today. So be careful. As believers, if you want to walk with God, now that's not telling us that we shun people or that we do separate from believers. That's teaching us to pay attention to basically the advice that we receive. You see, they heard this advice, and these people are saying, "Come on back, you need to stop this work. It's getting difficult." And so they're ready to quit because of this. You know, not all advice is good advice. Now, if you haven't memorized that, or if you haven't applied that to your life, I advise you to do that. You say, "Pastor, is that good advice?" I don't know. Not all advice is good advice. Have you ever been told something and afterwards you thought, "Wow, I shouldn't have listened to that"? Not all advice is good advice. Also, be careful whom you seek advice from. Be careful whom you listen to. You know, some people may have your best intentions in mind. They just may give lousy advice. And then some people may not care at all. They're just going to give you advice. They don't care. And so you got to be careful whom you listen to. Now, when we're talking about spiritual advice, this is what I want to talk about now, spiritual advice. I'm not talking about advice as far as business or anything else. I'm talking about spiritual advice. First, not everyone is qualified to give advice. What I mean by that is, and we're not talking about education here, when you seek advice from someone, not everyone is qualified to give it, depending on what you're seeking. Here's my thought on this. Would you seek financial advice from a person who lost everything and could not keep anything, couldn't start a business, was bankrupt all the time, maybe even in debt and running into problems? Now, you may learn what not to do, but you're not going to learn what to do. For the most part, you seek advice from those that have proven themselves as far as knowing what they're doing financially. Financial advisors, you want those that know what they're talking about. How about we apply the same thing to our spiritual life? And we seek advice from those that are walking with God. Those whom we look and say, you know what? Now, nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But we seek advice from those that we see are faithful, that are serving the Lord, that are involved and have a love for God. And seek advice from them when we have a question. Here's another thought I'll give to you. You know, I've heard this before. As a pastor, you know, I've talked to people and I've heard this, I don't know how many times I've heard it. People will look and say, well, you know what? You don't know. You've never experienced the trouble I've experienced, so you can't help me out. You've never been involved in this sin, so you don't know how to help me out. That's foolish. Let me tell you why that's foolish. What if you fell into a pit and you needed help to get out? You better hope somebody comes along that's not inside that pit with you. And you better hope they drop that rope down so that way you can get out. And when they drop that rope down, I seriously doubt you're going to say, have you ever fallen into a pit? You know what I experienced? If you've never fallen into a pit, then just pull that rope up. I'm waiting for somebody who has. This morning, seek advice from those that are walking with God. Now, you may run into situations where someone may have experienced a situation that you have experienced and they can help you. But you may run into a situation where someone has not experienced that. But guess what? They can still give you advice from God's Word. And that leads me into my second thought on this as far as advice. Everything, or advice, spiritual advice, should be scriptural. And keep that in mind. As your pastor, I'm going to tell you this, as your pastor, I not only want you to search the Scriptures, I challenge you to search the Scriptures. Don't take my word for everything that you hear. I can make a mistake. No pastor is perfect. We try our best. Of course, men of God should study their best, and they should study the Scriptures and prepare messages under the direction of the Spirit to bring a message that God would be, you know, pleased with and God would be able to bless. But we're not perfect. Read the Bible. Study the Scriptures. Know what the Bible has to say. And follow God's Word. You see, the Scriptures provide God's teaching. In John chapter 16, turn with me if you would, John 16. I'll point this out and then we're going to get ready. I'm going to run through our last point. We're running out of time here. John chapter 16 and verse 12, it says there, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, this is the prophecy that Jesus Christ gave to the disciples concerning the Holy Spirit. And that when the Holy Spirit would come, He would continue to teach them the things of God. Now, I know the primary application is to the apostles. But when we get over to the book of Acts, we do know that the Holy Spirit has come down not only to the apostles, but now He dwells with all believers. Real quick, I want to remind you of a few things here. The Holy Spirit, first off, the Bible tells us that He'll teach the things of Jesus Christ. You ever run into anyone who talks about a spirit and they're not teaching the things of Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you they're not talking about the Holy Spirit. They may be talking about a spirit, and this spirit may be producing all these good feelings and everything else, but it's not the Holy Spirit doing the work. Because the Holy Spirit, according to Jesus Christ's teachings, will talk about Him and His teachings. You see, He will not lift Himself up, but He'll point people to Jesus Christ. You see, another thing here is the Holy Spirit will never contradict the teachings of Jesus Christ or the teachings of God. You know, if you run into a situation where someone says, well, you can do this, and it's contrary to what the Bible says, you can be sure it's not the Holy Spirit working. It's either men or women with their ideas or another spirit room, but it's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will not contradict the words of God. You know what we need to do? We need to live by God's Word is what we need to do. Yes, seek advice. There's nothing wrong with seeking spiritual advice from a pastor, maybe or from a friend. But really, when it comes down to it, know your Scriptures. Read the Bible. Apply the teachings you find in God's Word and be faithful to God. Anything that is contrary to God's Word, avoid. Get away from. And I guess you say, don't follow that advice. Follow the advice that is scriptural and that is sound. Here's my fifth thought. Turn, if you would, to Nehemiah 6, because here's where we find it. And I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Nehemiah chapter 6. There's something interesting here. Nehemiah chapter 6. And notice it says there in verse 17, now the wall is just finished. The wall is just finished. They finished the work. But notice what Nehemiah says. Moreover, in those days, the nobles of Judah, okay, the leaders of Judah, the ones who've just been discouraged, sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them, for there were many in Judah sworn unto him. Now, the wall's just been finished. When did they swear, or when did they make this allegiance with Tobiah? It's believed it was probably somewhere, maybe even before Nehemiah arrived. Because notice what happened here, notice what it said. Because he was the son-in-law of Shechaniah, the son of Ara, and his son Johanan had taken the daughter of Meshullam, the son of Berechiah. Also they reported his good deeds before me, uttered in my words to him, and Tobiah sent letters to put me in fear. Tobiah was one of the enemies. Here's my fifth and final thought. The reason why they lacked faith is because they lived in the world. That's why they lacked faith. They had made an alliance with Tobiah. Notice, none of the other tribes struggled with this. It was the people of Judah. And here we find the people of Judah were fellowshipping with the world. No wonder they struggled. No wonder they had a lack of faith. No wonder they were discouraged, because they themselves were struggling with their commitment. You see, the nobles of Judah were corresponding with Tobiah. They fellowshipped with him. And it says here they honored him because he had married one of their daughters. It's interesting how ungodly marriages can produce problems within families and even in this situation within the city there of Jerusalem. And because they lived in the world, because they continued to fellowship with the world, I think we find a group of people that were influenced by the world. You see, they doubted God, no different than the world would. They were prepared to live without God's blessings. They were going to quit because the world had influenced them. They were like the world. They had the desire for God's work was lacking. You see, I think the world influenced these people more than they influenced the world. And I don't think anything has changed today. You know, there are people all the time that make this mistake. They think, well, you know what, I can go live in the world and I can influence the world and change the world. Many have tried and many have failed. You see, if you choose to live in the world, eventually you're going to become like the world. You're going to begin talking like the world, acting like the world, going where the world goes. And next thing you know, because you're living like the world, your faith will be lacking and you're going to struggle spiritually. And that's what happened to the people of Judah. They were influenced by the world. And next thing you know, they're acting like the world, ready to quit and discouraged. So what can be done for this? I'm out of time, but 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tells us that we need to separate. God has told us to separate from the ungodly. We're not to yoke up. It says, I'm running out of time, but I want to read this and then I'll close. Close in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Here it says in verse 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we find in verse 14, he says there, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Nor what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them, walk in them, I will be their God, they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. See, this morning, the Bible makes it clear that we're not to be yoked together. In other words, we're not to be together with the world, whether it's in marriage or even with business dealings. Now, you can start a company, I believe, and you can maybe do business, but be careful of who you join together with, whether it's in marriage or business or whatever else it is. Because the next thing you know, you're going to be acting like the world. You're going to be influenced by the world. And that's the warning we're given here, and actually the direction the Bible tells us, that we're to be separate from the world. You know, as Christians, you know, I think it's a shame. And I'm going to close with this. Here's the two shames on Christians in modern Christianity. Here's the first shame for Christians. You know, it's a shame that Christians want to be like the world to begin with. Isn't it a shame? God has called us out of this world. God has saved us and given us a new life. And yet, it's a shame that so many Christians want to be like the world. They want to dress like the world. They want to act like the world. They want to follow the heroes of the world. They want to be just like the world. That's a shame when Christians act like that. We should be not proud of who we are, but proud of what God has done for us. We should be proud of our God. We should be proud of our Savior. We should want others to know of how good He is and what He's done, and be willing to show it with our life. That's the first thing I think is sad. Here's the second one. And this is my closing thought. Here's the second one, and this is the one we find here in this chapter. When a Christian says it cannot be done, when a Christian says we can't do that, I can't do that, that's what they did. They went to Nehemiah and they gave him their excuse and they said it cannot be done. We can't build these walls. When a Christian says it cannot be done, it's a shame. And here's why. What did Jesus tell us? With God, all things are possible. And what do we find with Paul? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If a Christian ever utters it can't be done, it means they're lacking faith. That's all it is. And this morning, we may not say it, but you know, sometimes we can get to that point on the inside. You're praying for somebody, you want to be saved, and sometimes you say, well, it can't be done. They're just never going to trust in Christ. Don't give up. Continue to pray, having faith that God can work in that person's heart. Don't quit. You say, well, I can't do this. Why not? God can give you power to do all things. This morning, let's learn from their example. You know, there are five distractions that were given. Guard against each one of those, because those are still around today. We can be distracted on any one of those areas. Now, any one of those areas can pretty much cause us to lose faith. All five combined can do exactly what happened to those people. Quit. They're ready to be done. Now, of course, we know what happened. Nehemiah encouraged them. They did follow God, and they continued to do the work. So this morning, I want to leave you with that. With God, all things are possible. Don't quit. If for some reason you're lacking faith in some area in your life, maybe it's over a struggle, maybe it's over a direction, maybe it's over wondering how God's going to do something, you're worrying, don't quit. Put your faith in God, trust in the Lord, and continue on. Focus on Jesus.